Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, and as always on Tuesday night, I got my right-hand man with me, Robert Frost, and we're here to talk to you on an injury compensation podcast. Hey, but you know, I got to tell you, before we start talking injury compensation, I don't know, I just felt chills when I heard the opening, and I heard that 180 degrees. It just did something to me, and I'm in a much happier place. No, it did. I like that opening because, again, that's just the voice of the new mail handler. And part of that voice, we set aside time every week. When I say we, me and Rob. Hey, good evening, Rob. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Good evening.
Yeah. When I say voice of the new mail handler, the new voice of the mail handler, every week, 7:30 on Tuesday night, Rob and I set aside a half hour to an hour sometimes, time to talk to you about working safe. And first and foremost, how to prevent accidents, we talk. And if that fails, and from time to time, it's going to fail, then we try to educate you on what must an employee do or what should an employee do should they become injured at work. And if I was to just do a recap or a summary over all the many podcasts that we've done, I'd probably say to you, if you ever got hurt at work, the first thing you need to do, if you're not sure about anything else, is ask for a CA-10, and your roadmap will be outlined for you. So if you don't, again, we put out a lot of information, but if you don't remember anything else, as long if you can remember the CA-10, the CA-10 is going to tell you everything else that you need. You know, as I've talked to people, and again, I've been in this postal game. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I've been in the postal game over 35 years. Okay. And as I traveled and I talked to people, again, usually postal problems stay the same. And when I say that, I mean, think about when you first came in the post office. Pretty much those arguments, those fights that you had then are still the arguments and fights that you're having now. And I only say that to say it has been a long since standing tradition, post employees to get hurt at work, and for some reason, and I can't figure this out, are kind of timid or shy, for lack of a better word, to actually file an injury compensation claim. And tonight, Rob and I are going to talk about that, and I'd like to know why. How is it that we work for an organization that's covered under FICA laws? Again, same compensation laws that congressmen and senators get. But if we get hurt for some reason, we shy away from filing proper paperwork. Help me put some light on that, Robert.
It's confusing to me, too. But part of it, I believe, is lack of understanding or lack of education on the process. Because I know, as you and I were discussing just before the podcast started, one of the first things that you hear in orientation is, if you get hurt, we're going to fire you. Well, they can't do that. But they're going to threaten it so that you don't feel you can afford to turn in the claim because you want to keep your job. That's wrong on management's part. And believe me, I don't intend to let them get away with it if I can help it.
And you know, it's been so long since I sat in orientation, and what I mean so long is, as an active president, I would always sit in like the last 2 or 3 hours of orientations to greet the new mail handlers. But it's been so long since I've been in orientation. I wonder how the post office feels about that information being put out in that manner, if it's still being put out in that manner. I would think that that language should change, because if you're telling an employee, if you get hurt, you're going to get fired. I think that's a public relations issue that somebody might want to address. Now, don't get me wrong. It's probably an effective tool. It's probably a very effective tool to tell somebody, listen, I'm going to have you down here doing all of these repetitive motions for 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And don't make a mistake about it. If you get hurt while performing your job, you're going to lose your job. That would be enough to make any person not want to file a claim, if that's what they're being told. And next time, again, I'll have to meet a mail handler when she comes out of orientation just to double check on that verbiage. But if that's what they're being told, I'm probably going to try and address that with an element a little higher than our plant manager, because that's just wrong to tell people that. And I hope they've changed that. But you know, we see people at work, and sometimes an employee gets a little ding, little nick at work. We just rub it off. We'll walk it off. And let me tell you something. I get that. I walk by, and you got a cage in the middle of an aisle, past the out in the walkway, in an unsafe area, and I walk by and bang my arm on it, and I get what we used to call a little stinger, I mean, maybe I don't go to the hospital. Maybe I don't even report that. But now let me tell you something. If I come back to work about 2 days from now, and I still have that pain in my arm, okay, I don't care if it's day 5 or day 1005. Now I have to go find management and put this claim in. I'm sorry. And that's what we have to do. But again, it's mind-boggling to me how you could work for a job. How you could work for a job that has excellent FICA benefits, excellent labor contractual rules and regulations that protect you should you become injured at work, and you become timid or afraid to use that which is given to you as part of your employment package. I don't know. That's just crazy to me. So again, what other reasons you think an employee wouldn't want to file a claim, Robert?
Embarrassment.
When you say embarrassment?
Yeah, embarrassment. The employee may be embarrassed because they know they did something wrong. They don't want anybody to know about it. Another reason is, as you were saying, but I'm going to touch a little bit more deeply on it. You got a little stinger and you didn't really worry about it. Well, sometimes those little stingers can be puncture wounds, because I know I got several cages, especially they've got little pieces of metal sticking out. If that gets infected, you could get serious complications from that. So, you know, it's not so much ignorance, it's probably more. Most people are used to getting little nicks and cuts and bruises and stuff, and they don't think anything of it.
And again, I do understand not thinking anything of it, because again, if I filled out an accident report for every time, again, I cut myself or banged into some equipment, I'd stay in injury conversation. But I want people to understand. Yeah, I want people to understand that this is available to you. And while I talk about maybe you didn't report it, let me say this to you. Whereas I got a stinger in my arm and I don't report it, you can do the same act that I did and get hit the same way. It may affect you differently. So I just want you to know, some employees are used to taking bumps and bruises more than other employees, but that doesn't mean at no point in time is it okay? Is it justified that somebody who's not used to taking bumps and bruises the way others are, if you hit equipment, that maybe you want to fill that report out right then and right there. And let me tell you, when I talk about filling out the accident report, that's a report that keeps you safe. Now, I know management looks at it and blows it up. In fact, in Columbus, they actually use accidents that you require no medical treatment, accidents that you actually filled out a declination form not requesting anything. In Columbus, they use that against you should you look to transfer to other offices or inter office transfers. And I've worked with 3 or 4 employees who that has been the issue. So, you know, I understand the post office being very subliminal in the manner in which they suppress your right to file an accident. I see their work, but I want to let the employees know. Well, excuse me. Sound like I was going to sing. I want to let every employee know, if you get hurt at work, and let me tell you something, even if you were performing an unsafe act, hear what I'm saying to you. You still need to report that and get medical treatment. Again, we want to work safe, but again, through some of the, I almost said some of the tactics, but I'm not going to say some of the antics of postal management, such as allowing you to pull multiple cages through the processing plant, such as allowing you to pull more equipment by hand, more than one piece of equipment by hand when you're not on a piece of pit equipment. See, they allow this stuff, and then when it gets out of hand, they want to come down like the hammer of Thor and try to squash it out. But because they allow that, if you should find yourself injured at work, and I said in the beginning of my little soliloquy, it doesn't matter if it's you're working safe or not working safe, you got to report that and utilize your officer workman comp benefits, your FICA benefits that are part of your employment package. Now, let me tell you, because you know Branch President Hodge likes to keep it 100 with you. If you're working unsafe, then you got to know that after they give you that medical treatment, they're probably going to give you 2 or 3 other pieces of paper called some kind of write-up. Now, listen to me, and I'm laughing because I don't want you to not know this, because I don't want you to listen to the podcast and find out you were working unsafe, but you heard a snippet of the podcast that says, report all accidents. Well, listen to me. If you're working unsafe and they do an accident investigation, right away, feel a little lucky, because I don't see them doing correct accident investigations. But if they did one and found out that you were in the wrong, you got to answer for that. I don't know any other way to say that. Now, again, don't mean you got to get your head. It doesn't mean you have to get your head chopped off when your hand should have been slapped. But understand, if you are engaged in unsafe acts and you get injured, then you're going to wear a little bit of that. You know, again, you're going to be responsible for that. But understand, the post office, because you got hurt in the performance of your duty, is still going to pick up your medical bills. And you know that you might think, well, I don't want to report it. I'll just put it on my insurance. But if you got hurt at work, listen, 5 or 10 years later, you may regret not putting that on a CA form. Because now, instead of filing a reoccurrence, you're filing an initial, and you know pretty well that it happened to you more than 10 years ago. So, again, podcast today is just about trying to get you to understand you have to be conscious of some of your rights that you have under FICA laws. And like I said, these FICA laws, these health benefits, the right to file CA forms, this is the same law that covers congressmen. So again, we got a good system here. We just have to work it, and we have to stop allowing the Postal Service to act as silent bullies. To stop acting as silent bullies, sending out these subliminal messages that deter you from filing claims if you are injured at work, either safe work or unsafe work. If it happened at work, then you need to go ahead and file, and so the post office will pick up the medical on that. Any other words for him, Rob?
Not that I can think of. You covered it pretty well. It just, if you're hurt, file the claim. If you need help with it, come and see me. Come and see Kenny.
Yeah. And again, we offer this service. Again, you know what we get out of this? I speak for me right now. I get the satisfaction of knowing that we assisted somebody who otherwise probably wouldn't have got any help. That's the satisfaction I get. And again, I work with clerk carriers. Again, if you are a postal employee, when it comes to Branch President Hodge, I really don't care what your craft is. If I've got what your craft is, if I have the knowledge and the time to assist you, I'm gonna. And I think that what this podcast we do on Tuesday night is an excellent tool for that. This tool is designed, again, now let me also say, now Robert works with all federal employees. Doesn't matter if you're federal, doesn't matter to him. He'll take you on and work with you and give you guidance. I kind of restrict mine to postal, and I want you to know in about 2 or 3 more months, I'm probably going to restrict that more to mail handlers because I'm going to be engaged in some work that is going to require more of my attention. But nonetheless, Robert Frost is right there to help you. And if you don't know, all you got to do is ask. Find my phone number. It's all over the post office. If you find my number, I'm going to give you Robert's number because our goal here is to provide you with information that is going to resolve your issue in an expedient manner and with a little cost out of your pocket. So if you understand that, again, I don't ask you for any money, nor do I want any money from you, because while we do these podcasts, my knowledge in injury compensation continues to grow. So I look at it, we're all in school here. While I research, and when I say I is a team of Kenny Hodge and Robert Frost. So while we research what your issue is, we're constantly absorbing more knowledge on injury compensation. And I want to say to you, it must be big because the Postal Service has an injury compensation department. So it's no little thing, folks. I always encourage, implore you to work safe. But, you know, as I walk through that plant, I see that's not going to happen. I still see you pulling 3 APCs off the dock into the 03 cut, 3 at a time. Really? Really? How long? And don't get me wrong. You know, you're a younger mail handler, male or female, it doesn't matter. A younger mail handler, you got a whole lot more energy, because what you're not looking at is the post office wants you there for about 25, 30 years. Okay, 25, 30 years. And let me tell you, you start yanking those 3 APCs, you keep yanking those 3 APCs. See, that's going to have a little problem in your lower back area. So what does the post office do? They direct you not to do it. Yeah, that's right. They direct you that if you're not on a piece of pit equipment, only pull one. But what do you do? You go on that dock. The dock starts to get backed up. Rather than you maintaining an efficient, calm work posture, you start thinking to yourself, well, I got to get this cleaned up. Let me help you. No, you don't got to get this cleaned up. I'm going to tell you again, all you have to do is continue working safe. Now, what will happen is management has got to get this cleaned up. And getting this cleaned up at no time, and I say again, at no time does getting this cleaned up mean you have to work unsafe in order to provide mail distribution or mail dispatch or mail anything for postal management. Because I know this might sound cold-blooded. It might sound hard. You out there working unsafe, and if you should become the victim of an accident and they do a 1769, see, this is where you're going to be feeling some kind of way. Because when that supervisor writes on that 1769, which is no more than a detailed report of the accident that took place, when they write on that 1769 that you were pulling three APCs and that's why you sprained your back or you twisted your back, you're going to be held responsible. They're going to try to controvert that claim. And now you're going to be feeling some kind of way, because here's when reality sets in. You're going to say to yourself, you know what? I'm out here working as hard as I can for the supervisor, and that's the way they did me. Yes, that is how they're going to do you. And I say this to you because I don't want you to think it's really on purpose. But if you have an accident pulling three APCs, and you've been doing it for your supervisor for the last 2 months, so it's part of what you do. When you have an injury report and we have to annotate, or they have to annotate, that you were pulling three APCs, it's not even your supervisor's call on how we're going to sway who's at fault for this accident. So how do you sidestep that? How do you not even become involved in that? You do that in a manner how, excuse me, you do that by working safe every day. And understand, you working safe is what the company's goal is. Okay, again, you work in there for 5 or 10 years, that's not the postal vision. The post office is still under the mindset that when you come to work here, we're going to train you. We're going to offer you excellent health benefits, pay you a very, very, very good salary, because we want you here for 30 years. And then you come into the picture and you start working unsafe and then you start getting injured. So because you go against postal philosophy. And when I say postal philosophy and postal training, I'm talking about from the headquarters where they write the rules and regulations. By the time it gets to us in the little districts, it's so watered down that it's not what it started. But the corporate plan is that you be here for a while. And in order for you to be here for a while, you must work safe all the time. And I don't know any other way to put that, but you have to work safe. And this is why, again, we do this podcast. Now, normally on Tuesday nights, Robert and I will break down a CA1, CA2, 16, 17, 20, CA10, CA4. I mean, and explain that to you. But I'm seeing that maybe let's take a break back from teaching you about the forms to trying to redesign or redirect your mindset. If you get hurt at work, folks, make sure you file it the proper way. And if you don't know the proper way, if you remember, I need that CA10, because the CA10 means I don't have to memorize anything else. Robert, if they got a CA10, do you think that would walk them through the issue?
It'll walk them through most of it, the most important stuff anyway.
Yeah, and so, again, we're not asking you to hear the podcast and try to memorize a lot what we're saying. First of all, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and hear this show 100 times if you like. But what I want you to understand is the information that we put out, it is very knowledgeable and very powerful information. It would be like, and I know this might sound crazy, the things that your agency don't want you to know.
Can I interrupt, Ken?
Sure.
Also around various locations, various bulletin boards in the plant, you will see hung up there a notice that says, "What should you do if you're injured at work?" And that form basically is very much like the CA-10. To have somebody pull it off, there's usually, on most of the bulletin boards, there's 3 copies. And if I need to put more up, I will. All right? Have someone pull it off the board, bring it to you. Or bring it to the supervisor, whichever. actually bring it to you if you're able to talk, okay? And then you go over it with the supervisor. Because if you give it to the supervisor, it might disappear.
I was about to interject, man, but you caught it. Go ahead, brother.
Of course, if the supervisors pay any attention, they may find out that this is hanging on the bulletin board and try to have them all taken down. That's okay. They can do that. I'll just put more up because it says right on the form, post in common areas.
Yeah. In fact, management has a responsibility to have those forms posted. So I'm sure if you walk that hallway, they probably got them hidden somewhere. So at least they can check the box and say they have them up. But nonetheless, we take the liberty, especially in the swing rooms, the men's and ladies, there's always forms on the board. And again, those forms are there for you to take, because if I see it or Robert sees it, there's no forms hanging, we're going to replenish them. So again, that's there for you, or you can just take your phone and take a picture of it. Now, guess what? It's with you for life. And just think about it. Everybody's got a picture of that CA-10 or what to do if you get injured on your phone. What'll happen is, as you see people getting injured at work, you can take a quick snapshot and right off the bat see if management even read the form. If the form says that, you know, you should be given a hospital care, management might have sent you home. So, again, you sharpen your skills by watching how it unfolds in our plant when there is an injury. And let me just clear this up real quick. If there's an accident at work, don't you go hovering over that accident and telling anybody, well, I'm here because I heard on the podcast that I should track. No, that's not what I'm saying. And please, let's not bring any additional heat to my position. What I'm saying is, if everybody's got that on their phone, you can make sure that your buddy, somebody that you know, should they get injured at work, you can make sure, you can track to make sure they got what they're supposed to get. So that's all I'm trying to get you to do. This podcast, the campaign, everything that I engage in, it's about awareness. Yeah, I know a lot, but if you take the lot that I know, and I take the lot that Robert knows, well, when we put those two together, now we know a lot, and that makes us stronger. Now, when I take that and then add that by 2,400 members in Local 304, that makes all of us even stronger. But do not, please, do not be afraid. Do not be comprehensive. I mean, don't be apprehensive, I'm sorry, when it comes to filing reports of injury at work. Now, again, I made light of it earlier, but no, know this. If you got hurt at work, first thing is you got hurt at work, let's put the paperwork in, let's get you taken care of. Now, if you found working unsafe, now again, you got to be found working unsafe. There's got to be an accident investigation, and that's got to show that you're not working safe. And if that is the case, especially if you know that's the case anyway, then be prepared for what actions come with not working safe. But the best thing I can say to you, and the best way to assure that you are always working safe, is to always work safe. Never mind that their shortage of personnel creates a superhero syndrome in my body that makes me think I now have to do the work of 5 mail handlers. Wrong. I still have to do my job. Okay, you go to work, nobody showed up but you. I still have to do my job. My job is designed for one person to do. Yes.
You have to do your job and do it safely.
Well, and again, and doing it safe is what it's all about. And I just wanted to point out that management shortage of personnel will not, does not, and should not constitute an emergency on your part. I'm faithful to my job. I'm going to give you the best I have, whether 5 people show up or 5,000. Hey, listen, that brings our podcast to a close this evening. Again, this is Kenny and Rob podcast. And tonight we just wanted to talk to you. I'm sorry? And tonight we just wanted to talk to you about don't be afraid to file a claim if a claim is warranted. Now, again, I never talked to you about falsifying or making up some nonsense. If you got hurt at work, go through the process, and if you need help, contact Kenny Hodge or Robert Frost, and they will be there to assist you. All right, let's say goodnight, Robert.
Everyone have a good and safe work week.
And I say the same. I'll talk to you later. Good night.